30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Life Matters, a 5-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin. Hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
We have a really wacky show today. We have completely different interviews.
Oh, well, that'll be fun.
Well, I mean, the shows are always wacky.
I was going to say, it's kind of normal.
Right, right. Have you recovered from Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh, you guys went hunting. Did you catch anything?
No.
Is that how you say it? No, that's fishing.
Yeah, it's when you're fishing.
Oh.
No, we harvested some deer. Yeah,
okay.
We had a good season.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Feeds the family.
We are venison rich.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
You're not going to surprise me with venison in some food thing that we eat, are you?
I certainly would be happy to bring something in.
Mm.
I make a very good Italian venison. It's Italian beef, but I use venison for it, and it's delicious.
Okay. I might try it.
Venison jerky. Yeah, bring it in for the Christmas party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then you can try it. If you don't like it, don't have to eat it. But it's
I'm not a fan.
There's a process.
Yeah. And I know, much like your apple pie, you probably have put it through a lot of different processes.
Our apple pie evolved over several years,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
But there's a process that my family has been doing for years. Well, my complete lifetime and way before that. And it starts at the time of harvest. When the deer is shot, the way you field dress it, how it's handled after the field dressing. We rinse all the blood off the fur. We rinse out the cavity and dry it. And then they're taken care of. They're hung. And depending on the size of the deer, they're aged. Because the longer, to a certain extent, but the longer you can hang the deer, the better the meat ages.
Hmm.
So a bigger, older deer generally is a tougher meat.
Right.
But if you can age it, and that is weather dependent for us because we don't have a cooler or anything.
Right.
It tenderizes the meat. And then we butcher our own deer. And all our meat is put up 100% lean. There's no fat, no tendon, no silver skin, bone, nothing.
Wow.
And when you take it out of the freezer, it's ready to cook. Everything, it's actually quadruple wrapped. We double wrap with saran wrap and double wrap with freezer paper. And it lasts a long time, and it's very good. But it is very labor intensive. But it's worth it.
But you guys all get together and do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like there's like 4 or 5 or 6 of you or something.
I wish.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for sure there's my brother and I.
Well, and, I know the boys come
Yeah,
over.
My Uncle Bob helps quite a bit. Zachary and Dylan will help as... You know, work allows. They're young. They got young families. And
does Jeremy hunt?
He has a couple times, but...
But he's not a...
Well, no, it's not his go-to. He's really getting into fishing.
Oh.
Yeah, I
good
get
for him.
Pictures of fish.
Pictures of fish.
Yeah, well, he's down at Rock Island now, so he's by the river. And, yeah, he's gotten into fishing. He's hunted in the past, but, you know, being in the military, he's not around much. I miss deer season for... Well, most of the 80s,
yeah.
I didn't hunt at all around here because I was not here.
Right, right.
You know, we tried to hunt in other places, but, you know, you don't know the area, and it's hard to get to learn the land, you know.
Well, and, yeah, yeah. And, like, you guys have the same spot. You've got the property up there that you hunt,
right.
And so...
But if I were to go out to, I don't know, anywhere other than our property, I would either need a guide or I would need some time to... Get out there and look around and see what is what. And
habits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it takes time to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, and I've been spoiled, so I don't want to do it.
Well, I want you to know that I did not, in fact, spend the last week in a tree.
You didn't?
Nope.
No, you don't know what you missed.
Nope, I don't.
No. It's peaceful. It's fun.
You know what? I bet it is. Although, I have a hard time sitting still. And that's my problem.
Well, that's the secret.
Yeah.
And
I can't sit still.
No. And one thing you need to know about deer hunting is it is 99% boredom and 1% unable to breathe, shaking adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we do it. The adrenaline rush is phenomenal, and you know, it's a challenge, and the meat is delicious.
So when you guys are all on this one property, and there's three or four of you sitting in your deer stands, and one of you gets one and fires a shot, doesn't it scare all the rest of them away?
No,
the other guys.
No,
really.
You would be amazed how often when you shoot the other deer. Let's say, well, this year I had two come into my stand.
Uh-huh.
And I shot one, and the other one ran around some bushes where I couldn't see it, you know, some foliage, and came back and stood there looking around like, what's up? I easily could have taken that one, too.
Huh.
And I've done that before, you know.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I would think that they would just like, wah!
But a lot of times they do, but
and they don't really know what a gunshot is.
Deer aren't
right?
stupid.
I mean, I don't mean stupid, but I mean they're animals, so.
Right. Well, yes. I think a lot of times they just don't know what it is. The older deer do. But it's scary to them because it's not a normal thing, though they hear gunshots, and depending where you hunt, they may hear a lot. But they're also a curious animal, like most animals are, and they want to know what's going on around them. So. But they're entertaining. You know, like I've said before, they scare themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they bump a branch. It's like, ah!
Yeah.
What was that?
You can look at videos of that, like on whatever, on Facebook or whatever. And they do. They startle themselves very easily. Step on a twig wrong and they're like, poof, and jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are cute. And apparently they're tasty.
Well, yes. Well, you know, if you don't like it, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
You know, you don't realize how many people are out there and they're not just doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they need to.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah, there's guys that, there's families that everybody buys all the tags they can get and they fill as many as they can because that's their year of meat.
Right. That's how they're feeding
totally understand.
Their children. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, congratulations on a successful.
Yeah, it was a good season.
Is
we
it
had
done?
A blast.
I mean, today's Sunday,
this
right?
This afternoon it is.
Okay.
At 4:30-ish.
Are you going back?
No, probably not. We still got a few to butcher, and no, I'm not going back up north.
Okay.
Maybe in the backyard, but no. My wife won't let me. Only my son can hunt there.
Oh, what? Huh?
Long story.
Oh, geez.
No.
Anyway.
But no, I'm done for the year.
Well, I'm glad that everybody returned safely.
Yeah.
And that everybody caught something or whatever you guys say.
We were out deer fishing and I caught me a nice little fish.
Caught you
deer
one?
Thing.
We have a great show today. We're going to talk a little bit about AI, artificial intelligence. Yes. And I don't mean... No, I'm not going to make that joke. Never mind. Artificial intelligence and why we need to stay ahead of the game, you know, between, well, especially the threat is China.
Right.
I mean, they have just openly admitted that they want to.
Well, and we keep selling them land.
And we keep letting them.
That's all about.
Do it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up next. And then Sonia's here from the Lake Geneva Museum.
That'll be fun.
Or Geneva Lake Museum.
I think Geneva Lake Museum
can never
is
remember.
Correctly.
Yeah, I can never remember. Anyway, best thing ever. And the Parade of Trees is going on right now. And so we're going to talk to Sonia about that. But coming up next, we're going to do a little talking about AI and why it's important to you personally to safeguard your stuff. It's not just an international or national issue.
Right.
It can affect you. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Right after this on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Now, you think that this topic may not be top of mind to people all the time, but I tend to disagree given the results of the election.
Well, it certainly is to me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
On a regular basis?
It's a concern. Well, of course it is.
Yeah. So we have Ashish Argyal here. He is an American Eagle Project advisor. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, first of all, a while back, we had Doug Kelly. He was the CEO of the American Eagle Project. I think it was about a little over a year ago.
Yeah, a little over.
It was a little over a year ago. Remind us what the American Edge Project is.
Yeah, so it's just a consortium, nonprofit of tech companies and trade associations, really just designed to remind policymakers and educate them a little bit about the importance of technology to America's future. So you think about our economic security. I mean, AI alone is supposed to add something like $15 trillion to the world economy in the next few years. Our national security, you think about the competition from China, and really our values. If a foreign authoritarian country like China or Russia were to gain an edge over us, that has real consequences for the next century as far as freedom and values.
Absolutely. So how did you get involved in this issue? I know you've done several things. You were at the FTC. You were the assistant director of the Office of Policy Planning, and that would be where we would have advocacy problems, and where you examine the regulatory barriers to the growth of e-commerce. E-commerce is here. It's never going to go away. It's just going to do nothing but get bigger. But we also obviously need to keep things in check every step we make while we're trying to stay ahead of our foreign competition. So, but tell us your background and why this issue is important to you and how you got involved.
Yeah, so it really started about 20 years ago or so when I was at the Federal Trade Commission. We were looking, and this is the early days of the internet, kind of ways that the government might stifle the growth of e-commerce. I reported to a fellow named Ted Cruz, who was kind of a mid-level staffer at the policy staffer at the FTC. And it's always been something of interest to me, carrying on into the last administration, where I served, and we dealt with some of these China issues. I just think it's very important to our country's future.
Here in the United States, what or who is the biggest threat as we move forward with new technology and new innovative things? What's the biggest threat or who?
Yeah, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. I'd say there are two right now. Number one is probably overly aggressive, progressive law enforcement efforts, and then secondly, kind of misguided regulation. So starting with the first, there are lawsuits right now that would break up Meta and Google, and they're going really hard at some of our other big tech companies. And you really have to stop and think, do these make sense for our country? Now, to be clear, the law should apply to every company. Every company needs to comply, big or small, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But what the Biden administration has been doing is bringing these kind of wildly aggressive lawsuits without evidence of consumer harm against companies like Google and Meta seeking to break them up. And what I don't think they realize is most of the investment in advanced technologies, quantum computing, cybersecurity, AI, is coming from the private sector. And so if we cut the legs out from under these companies, it's going to be harder for them, to innovate. That's one set of threats. And the second set of threats is really just misguided regulation. So, I think the Biden administration, they have done some good things, and we can talk about them, but they've also, they treat advanced technology like a threat to be managed rather than, an opportunity to be nurtured. And they're making it a little bit harder for our companies to kind of invest and innovate.
Does that surprise you at all, Tom, that they're making it harder for somebody to do business?
No, it really doesn't.
Huh. That's news. That's news. Ashish, now we're getting ready to enter into another new era, so to speak, with President Trump going back to the White House. I know you worked under Trump when he was in the White House the first time. What advances do you see now? Because the key word that you mentioned that's making me ask this question is regulation. Trump does not like regulations. He is a fan of the government staying out of the way. So what do you see changing based on what your experience was the last time you worked with that administration? What do you see changing this time?
Yeah, first of all, I think that the Trump administration will go back to just, the most basic rule we should have. Let's do no harm.
Right.
In the first instance, light touch regulation based on, real evidence of consumer harm, that's what we should want rather than embracing kind of these really very, aggressive, theories that, big is bad. So I think that's going to be one thing. The second thing is I think that the Trump administration is going to be a real advocate for U.S. companies and workers, abroad. So right now we're in this weird world where European regulators are imposing tens of billions of dollars of fines on U.S. companies with the assistance of American law enforcement agencies. I mean, what sense does that make? That's just a wealth transfer from American workers and shareholders to European bureaucrats. So I do think that the Trump administration is going to be very strong in standing up for U.S. companies.
Well, he's not a real big fan of China, and he's certainly not going to let them become the number one superpower in any way, shape, or form for what he can do. So, but that's a legit concern, right? I mean, China has it. They have their sights set on overcoming the United States pretty much in everything, but definitely when it comes to the development of AI.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've said openly they want to become the world's global superpower by 2035. They're investing, $1 trillion in, advanced research. And some of that is legitimate. Hey, if you can invest and innovate, more power to you. But what they're also doing is they're stealing intellectual property, something like $500 billion a year in U.S. technology is going to China through things like forced technology transfers and just espionage. The FBI director has called this the biggest espionage effort in human history. And they're also trying to make other countries dependent on Chinese technology. So they'll go to some African or South American countries, offer them these technologies and try to, telecommunications, computer systems, and really tie them more closely to Beijing. So I do think that the Trump administration is going to be much more aware of that and much more willing to fight back.
You know, that's interesting because that's how they get you, is you have to buy service parts,
right,
accessory, and this is a basic concept of that, but that's, and you can't go anywhere else. And now you have to have them involved in your business, in your life,
whatever. And they can charge whatever they want.
And they can do whatever they want. I mean, it's they want the monopoly, plain and simple.
Just a quick story there. So one of the jobs I held in the last administration was general counsel of the Social Security Administration. Okay. So SSA has data on pretty much every American. We needed to buy new printers. We need new printers from time to time. The low-cost bidder for the contract was a company with close ties to the Chinese Communist Party, and we ended up saying no. We're not going to buy from them because we were concerned that allowing, printers, as are just mini computers these days,
right,
that allowing them so closely into U.S. Computer systems that has information on everybody would be a real security risk. And it went to court, and we ended up prevailing. Simple things like that do present a genuine security risk.
People don't realize it. We were talking before we went on the air that we were hacked a few years ago by what turns out to be three different bad actors from Russia. And what a nightmare that was. And what people don't understand is that these things can happen to, as we've seen, hospitals, media companies, government agencies. Mm-hmm. And the more other countries like China develop their technology, no matter what branch of technology it is, AI, no matter what, them staying one step ahead of us puts us at a huge risk. Like, they can take down an electrical grid. They can take down an airport control tower. They can take down all these things. And people don't realize it's right here in your backyard already.
Well, Nancy, you were telling me that story, and I'm so sorry that you had to experience that. But I would say to all of your listeners, use good cyber hygiene.
Right.
It's annoying sometimes. Passwords are 100 characters, but use strong passwords. Never email around your social security number. Those things really make a difference. And they are. These very sophisticated hacking operations are looking for vulnerabilities to get into a system. And then, as in your case, they force you to pay ransomware.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a quick story about that?
Yeah.
There's the FBI director has talked about that. There was this wind turbine company in New England that had developed really sophisticated technology. Chinese hackers infiltrated it, stole the technology, undercut that wind turbine company on price. 700 people lost their jobs. This stuff happens. It affects real people.
It does. It does. Hey, I want to just touch on something that's completely off the subject of this. I understand, Ashish, that you were in Whitewater recently. You were there, and you had a great experience.
For Election Day, the Republican National Lawyers Association, the Democrats do that too, do this sort of thing too. They just send observers out just to document any problems and just to kind of make sure things run smoothly.
Sure. Sure. Well, that's awesome. We appreciate actually your oversight in doing that. And wasn't Whitewater, didn't they all of a sudden extend with absolutely no reason or, request extend the voting hours to 8:30 all of a sudden that night or 10:30 all of a sudden that night?
Yeah. So what happened was it was just a great experience on balance. The election workers who were city and county employees did a phenomenal job. They were friendly and transparent, and there were about a dozen of us in the room at the central count in Whitewater, Republicans and Democrats, and really everybody got along. We're just trying to understand the process if there was an issue with a ballot or whatnot. So all very friendly. But at about 8:30 p.m., people were still in line to vote, which is fine. The polls close at 8. But a judge issued an order extending polling hours until 10:30 p.m. without any explanation. It was just very frustrating. We didn't end up wrapping up until 2 a.m. Wednesday morning. But had the election been a little closer, that's the sort of thing that really undermines people's confidence in our elections when they change the rules at the last minute. So other than that, though, I thought Wisconsin, in my experience, did a phenomenal job, but it's very frustrating when people try to game the system.
Right.
Under what authority did he extend the voting hours?
Well, and that's the thing. So I'm a lawyer.
Right, like who?
I'm just kind of flabbergasted.
Well, is there an opinion? Is there any explanation? Because as far as we knew, no one had been turned away from the polls. There were no problems with the voting machine. So basically no reason to extend the voting hours. But, if you get a politically oriented judge,
that's interesting. That's right. That's right. That's interesting, though, because you're right. There was absolutely no reason to do that. They didn't shut the polls down. There were still people in line when the polls were supposed to close, but those people are allowed to continue to vote.
Exactly. And as long as you're in line by 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m., the line should be shut off. Nobody else in line.
But if somebody shows up at 10 o'clock at night.
Sorry.
Right. But that's not how it was in Whitewater.
This was a complaint about the last election in 2020.
Well, I don't care.
And that is the sort of thing that raises questions.
But we're happy with the results.
Overwhelmingly, Wisconsinites, you guys did an amazing job. And
heck yeah.
Appreciate being able to observe it.
Heck yeah. Ashish, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hey, if people want to kind of look into a little bit more about this topic, about, us staying ahead of China and other foreign countries as far as AI and things like this are concerned, and maybe even, other information about this, where do they go? Do you guys have a website? Where can we look?
We do. AmericanEdgeProject.org. We just put out a big paper on AI and, would love for people to take more interest in it. But thank you for having me on. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, guys.
Awesome.
You too.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye. We'll be right back with more Life Matters.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Not always.
Yes, always. You always talk as I'm turning the microphones on at the end of the commercial.
I have things to say.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sonia Ackwright joins us this morning. She right now is a co-director of the Lake Geneva Museum. Wait, is it Geneva Lake Museum? See? Sonia, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I love that place, just for the record. It is
pretty cool.
Just the most fun. And I was never interested in history my whole life until I moved up here to Wisconsin. And hearing the stories and around the lake and just the whole southeastern Wisconsin area so much, with Barnum's and the circus out in Delavan, just all of it. But really mostly the history here in Lake Geneva. Just there's something new at every corner, at absolutely every corner. And there's a new way to learn about history in Lake Geneva around every corner between Rita and the Ghost Walk tours and just the ton of information that is at the museum. And then you have people like yourself who've written books about history and things like that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Sonia wrote The Sanitariums of Lake Geneva. And is that the only book
So far,
so
I am
far,
working
I was
going
to say it's not going to be the only
no.
book. I'm sure
just
that you're working
beginning.
On
just
other things.
Just the beginning. Yes.
Yes. So, first of all, let's talk about the museum first.
Okay.
Okay. Right now is the time. If you ever go to the museum, now is the time to do it because the Parade of Trees is on display. Tell us about the Parade of Trees.
So the Parade of Trees is our sixth annual year.
Oh, wow.
We have over 40 trees this year. So, and they are put up by community and local organizations that come in. They put up their tree. They decorate it in whatever theme they would like to have. And then when people come in and visit the museum, they're able to vote for their favorite tree. There is bragging rights and a traveling trophy associated
nice.
With that.
Who won last year?
Last year it was...
I can't remember. Was it the Hot Air? No, it wasn't the Hot
no.
Air Balloons. It was...
I don't recall.
I can't remember. I can't remember.
It'll come to me later.
Have the police or fire department ever won either one of them?
Oh, no. No. But they have a fabulous time and they do bring
in
a huge crowd.
I think you're... It's hard to say winning. As far as the contest, I don't think they care. But the police department always comes out on top of the fire department.
I think that if one or the other of them won, the other one would care.
Well, yeah.
Fire department did bring their tree by ambulance a couple of years ago, so that
was
fun.
Well, it was probably sick. And they probably woke up and couldn't get the truck started, so they had to take the ambulance. Just saying.
They posted the other day about... The police department posted on Facebook the other day about this is the tree you look at, and then they showed a picture of the fire department you vote for, and this is, and then they showed a picture of the fire department tree with a big X through it.
Right.
So this is who you don't vote for, and then it said all these hashtags, and one of the hashtags was hashtag water does your job or rain does your job.
Yes.
And I sat at my desk and laughed for 5 minutes about this. This is hysterical. They have so much fun. And everybody has so much fun between putting up the trees and coming up with the themes and it's just and then the voting and it's just
and then following both the police and fire on Facebook to see how uh-huh. they're bantering
right.
back and forth.
Mm-hmm. The reason you laugh so much is you know it's true.
I know. It's funny because it's true. No, now don't get the fire department mad at me.
Why would they be
because
mad?
Because I
at
love you?
You
all.
They know that.
Okay. I'm
they just they sure. know where they stand. Or sleep, I mean. Came out wrong.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so.
I got a fire department story, but I'll wait till we're done.
Oh, come on.
No, that's right. I'll wait till the end.
Okay. All right. Sonia's scared now to be here.
Oh, no.
I don't think she is.
No,
she doesn't look scared.
She doesn't look scared.
No.
So,
that's because the
police
are here. She feels safe.
Exactly.
The fire department is going to be outside when we're done.
With their hoses.
With
what
their
are they
going to
do?
And
spray water at us?
It is a little cold out.
It's not that cold.
Okay, anyway. Sonia, what else is going on this winter season, this holiday season, at the museum? You've got the trees, but are there special displays during Christmas time or anything other than that? Like any specific history? I mean, the parade's coming up. Do you guys
Correct.
Stay open during the parade? Or tell me what the museum...
No, the museum is in operation right now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
okay.
and Monday from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Awesome. Okay. Okay.
As far as special exhibits, not necessarily,
okay.
but we do dress all of our exhibits. So
yes.
the 1880s parlor is dressed with 1880s Christmas decoration. The 1910 dining room is dressed with the 1910
yeah.
decoration.
Period appropriate.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then just the rest of the museum, we decorate in Christmas fashion.
Yeah.
Right.
It's cool.
The
museum's cool alone.
Listen.
But to dial it up with that.
The floor right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Love.
Cobblestone Main Street?
Love.
Well, what's really cool for me is I used to work out of that building when it was still Power
Wisconsin
and Light.
Wisconsin Power and Light
yeah.
building? Yeah.
So I worked for Wanasek Excavating and we subbed and did underground and stuff for them. So I remember it from when it was a working building and then to be going in there. And I usually went in at night, you know, after business because of an open door or an alarm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the change is just phenomenal.
It's incredible.
It's breathtaking. Yeah.
I know.
And it continues to evolve. And that's
yeah.
the fun of it is
yeah.
we do switch our exhibits. We take exhibits up and down. So every time you come in, there's probably something somewhere you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous.
Cool. Yeah, it really is. It's got to be seen.
I really, really love it. Let's switch over for a second to the book, The Sanitariums of Lake Geneva. Now, this is a story. There are a lot of stories that have gone around about the sanitariums here in Lake Geneva. Tell us why you wrote the book, how you got interested in this particular part of Lake Geneva's history.
So I had seen a postcard of the sanitarium on top of the hill. And my father is in construction, so I'm always very interested in buildings and architecture and things like that. When I started asking around about this, I could get the 1940s, 50s, and 60s versions of, oh, it was the crazy house. Oh, kids used to play in there. Oh, who was the doctor who actually established this?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, well, what year was it built? Oh, I don't know. So, like, the facts of the history weren't there, and that's what's really interesting to me. The stories were great, but they couldn't go back and tell me really much about it.
Right.
So that lit a fire under me. I felt like I needed to know the history of this beautiful building.
How long did it take you to find all the...
I have been researching for over 15 years. I continue to research because as universities, as other places continue to digitize, more things keep popping up.
Sure.
So it's going to be my life passion. I'll continue to explore sanitariums. I also collect relics, and I do have an exhibit at the Geneva Lake Museum with all my relics on display.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I'm going to skip forward a little bit in the book. There, on page 64, I talk about it was a brick, was given as a door prize to a class reunion. And when I had my first book signing, which was held at the museum, Doug Wilde came up and put a heavy bag down where I was sitting, and he said, page 64.
No way.
So I now have the brick.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. So
wow.
It was about from the 1957 or 8 class reunion. He couldn't remember exactly which. So
what's your favorite story that you got out of, or a couple of stories that you got out of the research about the sanitariums?
You know, one of my favorite stories is always how it impacted Gary Gygax.
Yes.
So he would crawl around in there. He'd go in there with his friends. I mean, he was like all over. So he'd go through the tunnels, the sewage tunnels, drainage tunnels, climb through the entire building.
He was great.
And then how that impacted his future work and his stories on writing those D&D modules. So that was always very fun and interesting
that
to me.
That is interesting, that connection. Yeah.
Other favorite stories? I have so many, it's kind of hard to whittle them down.
They don't have to be favorites. Just what are just interesting things about...
Interesting
like,
things...
Why is the subject of the sanitariums of Lake Geneva book worthy? Like, historically, there's pretty significant...
So the doctor that founded the institution actually wrote a bunch of legislation at the time.
Oh.
So he wanted to have kind of a little more kinder thought process against working with these people. And this was also a private sanitarium. So it wasn't state run. It didn't follow the same. That whole building, this four-story building, was meant to house 25 people.
Wow.
The other thing is people always ask me when they come to my talks, did you think my family was there and local people? And I'm always like, not unless they worked there. The people that came there had a lot of money, and they were being sent here from California, from Florida, New York, from all these places. People who had a lot of money to tuck their people away. You know, we were known as this resort town, and it was so beautiful and healthy here. Made them feel a little better about tucking their people away somewhere, and they had the money to do it.
Hide them in paradise.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
So it wasn't like sending them to Bedlam. They didn't have to feel any guilt or shame about it. They were sending them to Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
Huh. That's
interesting. I had no idea they came from that far away. I knew it was about money, but not that distance.
Right.
A lot of the relics I have found are very much out of state.
Wow.
Huh.
That's
so
cool.
What I'm finding now is that as we continue to age gap here, they're harder and harder to come by.
Sure.
People in New York don't necessarily know what Lake Geneva is, so they throw the things out.
Right.
The journals, the pictures, the things.
Right.
Wow.
How could you not know about Lake Geneva?
Well,
what is wrong with people?
Pretty popular. It's like, I think we're like in the top five. I'm trying
we're
to think what year.
We're the number one place to visit. I don't care what the magazines
say.
Well,
no, I'm talking about the in the country. We've been in the top five several times. We've been the number one.
The second folded
location.
On that is people don't like to share that kind of
family
history.
Well, of course not. Right.
Well, yeah.
Right.
No, I'm just talking about not knowing where Lake Geneva is, no matter where I've been, and I've been all over the place, people know about Lake Geneva more so than they do Milwaukee.
Right.
Milwaukee.
But like she said, would you like want to display a journal of your
grandma
that was in the sanitarium the stuff that she made?
But if they have off on my own path for a
some company
there.
Coming through and cleaning out grandma's house, they don't know what that is. They just toss it out.
Yeah. I tell you what, and that's sad too, that lends something to double checking what you're doing if you're, because I just went through that. And when my dad died, I found things. I mean, I had gone through things when my mom died and helped him, you know, like reduce I found things of my mom's, the Bible that she had when she was a child. Just, you know, historical things that I would have never thought that dad had kept around and everything. And just maybe it's not valuable, but it's valuable to me.
Right.
Absolutely.
And never let just a company come in and start chucking everything because not that it's worth money. I mean, sometimes you find stuff that, you know, you've seen the shows, but just how, right down to the cursive writing.
Absolutely.
Right down to the way that they wrote. And it's just, it's intriguing. It's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to have something like that again.
Absolutely.
And we don't write things down like we should these days.
Right.
Like they used to do. We put things in computers and, you know, but to have, like I said, that Bible from my mom, why would I want, you know, like a USB drive of pictures or whatever? No, I have the actual thing. It's just, that's incredible. Finding the stuff and having
your hands
on it. So I have
a Bible, Civil War Bible from Mary Gridley Bell. And you know that she helped donate money to have the new library built.
Right.
While she was in Lakeside because she was a sanitarium patient here.
Wow.
So that is on display in the exhibit as well.
See?
I didn't know that either.
So was she the one that she donated the property to?
Not the property. That was Mary Sturgis. She donated money for the new library to be built.
Okay. Hmm. I'm trying to connect Rita's stories to the history and stuff. Have you taken Rita's tour?
I have. I actually worked with Rita and Mike Huberty putting it together.
Yeah.
He wanted me to validate what they were going to talk about on the sanitariums piece, so I worked with them on that.
I love her.
I do too.
She is a great friend. She does that so well, that tour so well. And I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's also like true. Like she's not making this stuff up.
Oh no!
Right?
And right.
She knows what she's talking about.
I always, when people talk about stories or whatever of, you know, in the history of Lake Geneva, I always think, oh, did we get to talk about that?
And she just put out her book, and it's fantastic.
I know. I know. She's just the queen of everything. I don't know, but. So we're talking with Sonia Ackwright. She is the author of The Sanitariums of Lake Geneva, also the co-director over at the museum, which just kind of sounds like a dream job for you.
Absolute dream job. So I worked for the Primex family of companies here in town for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
Had my 25th anniversary on October 19th, and I left them on October 24th to go join the museum.
Aw.
So it's absolutely been a dream job for me.
Absolutely. So Janet, our beloved other co-director, is retiring, which is extremely sad for the museum.
Eventually, not right
eventually.
Away.
Eventually, yes. Right. And you are training and getting everything prepared. You guys are going to make that transition and you will become the director. As you look forward to the museum, and even while you and Janet are still co-directors, what do you see as far as the future? Do you know that you have new displays planned or just continue to change out things? And I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Right.
So
in some cases we do. We were able to acquire quite a few pieces from Villa Hortensia.
Oh,
so we are eventually going to put up an exhibit on that. We do have acquisitions coming in constantly. Mm-hmm. So as the pieces all come together, they'll kind of put together a new exhibit around those pieces. So we'll definitely continue to evolve. Some of the things we do just trade in and out because people come in and say, oh, I remember when this was a law office and now it's a barber shop. And so maybe, you know, X amount of years from now, we'll switch them out again, put the law office back in and move the barber shop.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, it's constantly changing.
Fresh.
Well, sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. And there's enough history in Lake Geneva that they could probably change things every day.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, wow. And you don't think about the work that goes on behind the scenes with those displays either, because all that stuff, you know, you have to build it. You have to build the accessories around it, like the
room. That makes sense in a story that people can come in and take a look, and it's not just a bunch of hot things thrown everywhere.
Right. It's got to flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of work. But I tell you what an asset. I mean, that museum is crazy good for this community.
You know, it's funny when we have local people come in who have never been in before. The first thing they say is like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize all of this was in here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't realize. No. There's nooks and crannies of stuff everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and you're using all your space.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're super kid friendly. So we've got the iSpy game. We have a lot of touch and feel things that kids can come in and hands-on use. We've got the fire truck and the tractor that they can sit in and pretend drive, take pictures. So the kids also have a really good time coming to the museum, which is odd because sometimes at non-children museums.
Right. They get bored quick. Mm-hmm. Don't touch.
Absolutely.
Be quiet.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a library.
Exactly.
It's a museum.
I couldn't do either as a kid.
No. I'm not surprised. They've got the fire truck in there, you know, because the fire department doesn't use it.
They needed more room for beds.
Sorry. I'm in so much trouble. I'm so going to get a fire inspection in about 5 minutes.
See, it's catching, though. Doesn't it feel comfortable and natural?
It really does. Oh, anyway, coming up, any events you want to talk about that are going to come up in the new year at the museum? I know that do you still do the Tuesday thing?
We don't during Parade of Trees because we have all the trees on the floor, but we will start that again in January. Once a month, we do the Tuesdays at 2 on various programs, so we'll go back to having that again. Throughout the year, we have fundraisers, and then in the fall, we have like the Swifts Night Out with the Chimney Swifts. So we'll continue to have events all year. Absolutely.
It's just awesome. I mean, really, if you haven't been there.
Yeah, you need to get there.
You need to go. And especially during the Parade of Trees.
And vote for your favorite tree.
Yes. You can vote for
from the City of Lake Geneva Police Department.
No, the Lake 96-1 tree.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking I'm still focused on this. You know,
I mean, you can vote for the police
officer versus hose draggers.
You really want to vote for the
You can cast a vote
tree
each time you come in.
Oh, that's right. So go out the back door, come back in the front.
Yeah.
No, not per day, per visit.
Just kidding.
You come once. But if you want to come again the next day and vote again.
I believe in voting early and voting often.
I love that.
Is that what you did back in a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago?
If I could have got away with it, they did it. Why couldn't I?
Anyway, so the Sanitariums of Lake Geneva. Now, when you write another book, is it going to be a sequel to this one, or is it going to be something completely different?
Different topic.
Okay.
Different
and you're not going to give us a hint?
Not at this time.
Oh,
not at this time.
Suspense.
She's good at it. She's good at it.
But it will be forthcoming, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
What is the website for the museum, and is there anything else that we need to know?
Just definitely come see us. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a great place to take your holiday and Christmas pictures as well, because it's already staged with all the beautiful lights and trees.
Oh yeah.
Our website is GenevaLakeMuseum.org
probably.
Yes, it is. .org.
Is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And, well, if you just Google Geneva Lake Museum, it comes up, take a look, go take the kids, take them during, you know, Christmas break, whatever. Just go. You will not be sorry. It's just gorgeous. And even if you've lived here your whole entire life, trust me, half of the museum, you will learn something new.
Absolutely. So adult admission is $12. Seniors is $10. Students 13 to 17 is $5. And any kids 12 and under are free.
Yay.
Nice.
Sonia, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You have a great holiday season, and you let us know when that new book can be teased a little bit, and then you'll have to come back.
Absolutely, I will. It will be probably in the summer.
Okay.
Nice.
See? We're going to be watching.
Something to look forward to.
We're
perfect. I love that.
Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show right after this on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
I want to start a new segment on the show.
What's that?
It's called Nancy's Advice for When You Get Pulled Over by a Police Officer.
Really?
I have a really good start.
See, now this is going to be
fun. Right. Well, you told me that already, that if you get pulled over for speeding and you and the officer walks up and says, I clocked you going, you know, whatever, 100 miles an hour. You said I should not say, oh, that's weird. Do you know when that speed gun was calibrated? You said I should not say that.
Well, no, that's not a conversation to have on the side of the road.
No, probably not going to get me out of the ticket.
I thinking no.
Okay, what about when he walks up? If I say shh, we were both speeding.
Yeah, that's not going to work either because he has the authority to exceed the speed limit to catch you to address your speeding.
Okay, fine. I'll think of some other stuff.
This show's going to be a huge hit. I wouldn't argue with him either or say things like, my taxes pay your wages.
Oh, my God. I would never say that. Yeah. I'm the boss of you?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Refrain?
All kidding aside, you don't have to admit to anything. You don't have to just believe him. But if you're polite and you answer his questions and give him the information he asked for, things are going to go a lot better for you. You know?
Where were we coming back from when I passed by the police officer and then you got pulled over by him? Where was that? I can't remember where we were.
We were leaving Mr. Lake Geneva practice.
Mr. Lake Geneva practice.
Yep.
And I saw him.
Yes.
And you did not.
No, I was talking with my wife.
Uh-huh. And
she said, you're going kind of fast. And I said, yeah, I am. And I slowed down.
Uh-huh.
Too late.
And I, in fact, did slow down on time. And I saw the police officer pull out and follow you and was like, oh. And then he pulled you over and you just handed your license. And it was here in Lake Geneva. You just handed him your license, mm-hmm. you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I can't imagine when he called that license in to dispatch what all of the help, you know, like.
Well.
Like, oh my God, you first saw him
all,
over.
First of all,
you were
I was
speeding.
Wrong. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you were speeding.
He's only doing his job. I didn't.
But hysterical.
I said nothing. The only thing I said was, I wondered what took you so long. Because he followed me for a little ways, but he was waiting for a safe place to stop me. And I understand that. Other than that, I mean, he made a decision on it, and no matter which
you
way that
speeding.
Went, yeah, I
knew
had
you
no
were
argument.
Speeding because you passed me.
But I don't know. I don't think he caught a hard time, but I sure did.
I bet. I bet.
While I was waiting for him to come back,
uh-huh.
I was hearing about it.
Right, right. Well, the funny thing was, your wife was texting me because I was like, did you guys get pulled over yet? And she's like, damn it. Yes. It was like, okay, well, I made a right.
Yeah.
I turned.
Yeah. I was running blocker. You're welcome,
oh,
by the
yeah,
way.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. But I think that in light of that, you know, we should have this segment that, you know, we tell people good tips for dealing with law enforcement. And
I would be happy to do that.
Maybe even like fire department. Whenever the fire department comes, if you just make sure you have a sandwich for them.
In a lawn chair.
They like that?
They get tired. Those hoses are heavy. But all kidding
you know
aside, on the fire department.
End up on the show next week is Chief Peters.
I'm ready.
Without a choice.
It
we're
would
not
be a
going
blast.
To, I know.
But seriously, in the situation of a fire, get out of their way. Don't park in front of the hydrants. If you see that there's fire apparatus out, go a different direction. And for the love of God, do not drive over their hoses.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a joke. They are under high pressure, and by driving a vehicle over them, you could rupture them. And if you rupture that hose, it's no longer usable.
Right.
Now they got to shut the water down, replace the line, or add a piece to it, or whatever. And that's time away from fighting that fire. So
I accidentally ran over a fire hose one time, but in my defense, my house was on fire.
And
I wasn't
see the road?
Looking at the road. I was looking at the fire.
Right.
And didn't see the hose going, and I did run over it. But I had a really small car.
Well,
that helps.
And,
but
and,
it was my house that was
yeah,
on fire.
And I totally
so
understand
defense,
that. But,
right. But you should not ever.
Right.
Right.
And even if it is your house, give them room to work, please. Because all you're doing, and I realize it's no different than going to the school of an active shooter because your kid's there. I get it. totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand, whether it's law enforcement or firefighters or EMS, sticking your nose into what they're doing, regardless of the personal involvement you have, is just going to make it harder for them to do their job.
Yeah. I mean, and you have no idea what they're getting ready to do.
Right. It's easy to say. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But give them the room to work.
It's nice of you to say something nice about them.
All kidding aside, they have a tough job.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to be a firefighter.
Yeah, I know.
I was on Elkhorn Volunteer Fire Department for several years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've said before, they're an easy target. Love you guys.
Hashtag Rain does your job.
Nancy picked a side.
No, I'm not picking any sides. I love them all. Red, blue, yellow, green, all of it.
Well, I've been saying for several years, you know, we've all got balled into the first responder.
Yes.
And I've told several people in the fire service and EMS that they should be second responders because we're always there first.
Oh, jeez. Chief Peters is calling me right now.
I bet his ears are smoking.
Smoking. I get it.
Oh, be careful. They're going to spray you. All right, I'm done.
I think that's enough of Life Matters for the day. I think people have had enough of us.
I'm working off that turkey.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Yeah, that tryptophan didn't bother us today, did it?
Oh, no.
Didn't make us tired.
Thank God.
We'll be back next week with another show of some kind. Who knows?
It'll be fun regardless.
It'll be fun. We hope. Anyway.
No, it will.
Oh, wait. You had a story.
Yes, I did. So, over the years, Piggly Wiggly has hosted a pre-Halloween Oktoberfest thing that they do in the parking lot.
Okay.
I'm sure you've been there. They have...
I don't know if they do it anymore, but...
They have a lot of things out there, like wagon rides.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, displays and stuff like that. And it's really cool for the kids. So, every year I took the race car out there, the Beat the Heat race car.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had our spot. Well, this one year, the fire department brought out their apparatus, and they were on the high side of the parking lot with their hose, because that's really all they can bring is their hose. And they were having kids spray.
Chili, they could bring pots of chili. Aren't they famous for chili?
I don't think they were 24 hours then.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't know how to cook yet. But they had a target that the kids could spray at. You know, like a house, they could spray the hose.
Right.
You know, Anyhow, they had everything on the parking lot. So all the water was running down to where we had the race car. So I'm standing in water, and, you know, these kids are coming up to look at the car, and they're in water, and McGruff was there, and, you know,
we had other things.
Yeah. And it wasn't like it was a major thing, but I walked up the hill, and I said, hey, is there any problem with you guys moving your target over onto the grass so when they spray the water, it goes down the other side of the hill? I'll help you. And they started giving me a hard time about, oh, you're afraid of a little water. You can't handle the water. Are you going to be okay? You know, I'm like, all right, no problem. So I went back down to my car, and every kid that came up, I sent them up to the fire department. I said, you should go up there and ask them, you were that close to being a police officer. Why didn't you get the job?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was funny, and they did. And somebody from the fire department came down and said, could you quit telling the kids that? Because they're coming up telling us you were that close to being a cop, but you couldn't make it. And I said, what's wrong? You can't handle a little bantering. It's going to be okay. I'm standing in the water.
That is a beautiful story.
It was
festive.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. I don't know why it's like you guys are
just
friends.
Cause.
Sibling rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
love those guys.
I know.
And in
really
all honesty, we wouldn't be able to survive without the fire department. They do a lot of work.
Right.
But they're such an easy target. How do you not give them a hard time?
I think they feel the same way about you guys.
Yeah, but they're usually wrong.
Oh. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've started fighting a fire before they showed up. I actually put a house out before they got there with a garden hose.
And then in the newspaper it said the fire department arrived and put out the fire. Yeah. And it was actually him.
Did you send in an editorial correction?
No, you know, I stay out of that stuff. I mean, I joke about it, and I have no problem with that, but that gets a little political, and I'm not going to start a fight between the fire department and the police department through the newspaper. But the owners of the house wrote a letter to the editor saying that the fire department didn't put anything out. The fire was out before they even got there.
You didn't tell them to write the letter, did you?
No, like no. I didn't. I should have, but no, I didn't.
It's hysterical. Well,
listen, it never stops.
We have Chief Peters and Chief Gritzner. Peters at the fire department, Gritzner at the police department, and their teams right now. And always, but I'll tell you what, right now, there haven't been two departments that are more cohesive.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it is incredible. Everybody gets along. It's serious, but it's fun.
Right.
And they are just fine, upstanding, wonderful leaders. And we are very lucky to have both of them. And
without question.
Yeah.
And if they need anything, we're going to jump right in and help.
Right.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
All kidding aside,
we're very lucky in this community. To have
oh my gosh, we are.
Oh yeah,
yeah, we are. It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, you definitely got two good agencies that are. They do a good job,
and they have a great time with each other.
Oh yeah,
clearly,
we have so
which is
much
another
fun.
Reason to go and figure out what tree you're going to vote for,
it
which
would
is
be the blue tree.
Lake 96.1.
Oh, see, I'm on this police department versus fire department kick.
You're so fired.
Again.
I know.
I can honestly say I've never been fired from any job so many times.
I fire people on a daily basis.
I know. At least once a week for me.
Anyway, have a safe rest of your Sunday.
Yes.
Have a good week next week. Don't forget next week, the parades, the Christmas parades, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and Burlington. We will be participating in, but lots of that stuff starting up right now.
Yep, here we go.
It's awesome. We'll see you next week right here on Lake 96.1.